I'm Brucker.
I'm Levi.
And this is Film on the Rocks. We are a movie podcast, and we like to talk about how much fun movies are. This is a little bit different episode that we're doing today. We're not talking about a specific movie, but we are ranking our own personal favorite Jim Carrey movies, our personal top five Jim Carrey movies, to be specific. Mm-hmm. Levi and I were talking about how, you know, we got to do a mini-sode. There's a lot of fun, and let's just have some general discussion about this comedic actor that we both really like. So we're talking about Jim Carrey today. Levi, how you doing?
I'm good, Brooker. I've been actually really looking forward to this pod for a while. I love, I've mentioned this a bunch of times in past episodes, but I love ranking things. I love the hobby of putting things kind of in this hierarchy, this list, this tier list of things. And so, you know, it took a while to kind of figure out the perfect first person to do a hierarchy of. We thought of directors, thought of actors, and Jim Carrey's got a pretty popular list of movies, and it felt like it was a very doable rank. But man, the more I dug in, the more I realized how much I love Jim Carrey as an actor.
It's crazy. His filmography is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
I mean, you know, lots of slapstick comedy, you know, which is obvious. And then he's, you know, there's a Batman movie in there with him as the Riddler with Batman Forever from 95. And then, you know, he kind of transitioned into these more dramatic, serious roles too.
Yeah.
In Truman Show and Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. I mean, this guy has range, right?
yeah, big time. I mean, it's funny looking at all the movies he's done. Not all of his movies have had the best reviews,
right?
From a critical standpoint, not everybody has been the biggest fan of them, but consistently they have done very well at the box office. All the ones I've seen, there's a couple that aren't quite as good, but consistently it's a reviews were split, but it killed at the box office. Everybody loved it, and it killed at the box office. None of the reviews thought it was any good, but it still killed at the box office. Jim Carrey has this ability to take a movie and to make it, even if it isn't super watchable, still a super fun ride.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that's just something that he brings to that. That was kind of going to be my first point to talk about. I was like, you know, what is the Jim Carrey appeal? I mean, obviously he's very funny, and he has some witty banter. I mean, he does, but it's not just that. It's, you know, he's elastic. The man is made of rubber. His facial expressions all over the place. He's very animated, and they always throw him in situations where he's the only animated person in the room. So it really emphasizes that, and it's just he's also, like I said, really witty, funny. It's the combination of all that. It's just like, man, what is this guy going to do next? And that's what people are just there in the seats in the theaters, just going, what's he going to do next?
Yeah, he's unpredictable for sure. I think, in my personal opinion, as far as a face actor, and I'm not talking like a conveyor of emotion, I'm talking like what he can do with his face.
Yeah, he's doing
a lot.
I
think he's the greatest of all time, personally.
Face
I think
acting, he's, 10 out
know,
of 10.
It is incredible. He's one of the best slapstick comics to ever live. Personally, I think it is unbelievable what he's been able to do for comedy, what he's turned comedy into. And we can talk about more of this like kind of down the road, but it's just unbelievable what he did. And it's funny that he wasn't necessarily a smashing success to begin with. Like, he tried out for SNL, didn't make it. Did the comedy tour for a little bit with, you know, his family went through some financial troubles at the beginning of his life. Did not do well with that. But slowly but surely kind of climbed the ladder. And once he finally got into his first major motion picture, which I believe was the first Ace Ventura movie, he just rocketed into Hollywood.
Right.
And everyone was like, who is this guy? And I think 1994 alone, he just destroyed. There was the first Ace Ventura. I think The Mask was that year. And then Dumb and Dumber, I think, was also 1994.
Yes.
Which are three of his most well-known famous movies, just boom, 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 all in the same year.
It's crazy. Yeah, I was going to talk about his background a little bit. Obviously, you know, everything you just said, he had kind of like a rougher beginning. He started out as a stand-up comic, but he wasn't very good at first. He started out like being an impressionist, but apparently his impressions weren't very good. He bombed a lot. And like you said, his family went through financial difficulties, but as soon as they kind of got back on their feet, they were able to support him. And he was able to really get his comedy act together, something that was very nice and polished. And when he went back to open mics, he killed and he got really good reviews. He actually got discovered by Rodney Dangerfield, of all, you know, all comedians, to pick someone up. And he actually hired Jim Carrey to come on tour with him to be his opening act. Later on in 1982, Jim Carrey moved to Hollywood, where he would where he began performing at the Comedy Store, which is, you know, a very impressive, or, you know, a very prestigious comedy club to be a part of. And just to like name a few people that have been through here, Jim Carrey is obviously in he's in good company with lots of the alum of the Comedy Store, which include Jerry Seinfeld, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Chris D'Elia, Whoopi Goldberg, Michael Keaton, David Letterman, Louis C.K., Ray Romano, Eddie Murphy, and Robin Williams, and there's dozens more. I mean, a lot, like just two or three of those names alone would be enough for me to be like, wow, I'm going through the same path as these historic comedians went through. You know, he's up there with these people, or he's part of the same alumnus, which is really cool for him. And then, like you said, he auditioned for Saturday Night Live but didn't get it, but he did land a regular casting spot on In Living Color, which he did from 1990 to 1994.
Right.
And then boom, had his breakout in 94 with Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber. And this man did not sleep, I swear, because he's just pumping out like 2 to 3 movies a year from 94 till like 2009. And even after 2009, I mean, he still has movies at least every other year.
Yeah. And it's just so funny. You see him and who he's become, and what he's done, not only for comedy but for film, and you can't imagine a time that he would ever be looked at as like not funny or not going to be this huge hit. Like the fact that someone said, oh, his impressions are, you know, have a lot to be desired, blows me away, because he is a phenomenal impressionist. He is so good at just becoming these just larger than life insane characters. And honestly, for a shout out to, this isn't technically a movie, but if you want to get kind of an idea of just Jim Carrey in general, Broker, I don't know if you've seen the Unnatural Act, Jim Carrey's Unnatural Act. It's essentially like a comedy special or whatever. You know, it's not a comedy special, but it is his stand up back in 1991, and it is hilarious. Like pre-movies Jim Carrey, him up on stage just being himself, and his mouth is going everywhere and he's contorting his body into all these shapes and things. But this like pre-cinema Jim Carrey, but it is still very much him, and he has stayed true to that kind of fire inside of him, that spirit inside of him, honestly, until today. Like through the waves and everything, he's still that classic vintage Jim Carrey.
I need to see that sometime, because I would love to see his I really love stand-up comedy. I also just love and really appreciate hearing comedians just talk about the craft. Like I love Jerry Seinfeld's show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and actually Jim Carrey has an episode on there. I don't know if you've seen that before. Dude is an artist. He loves to paint, and he's actually pretty good at it. He's also kind of a wacky character, as you would imagine. You know, just watching Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Carrey go through coffee shops and whatnot, it was kind of bizarre at some points. But he's a great guy, and I would, just from that episode, it was fun just hearing him kind of talk about his process and everything. Because, you know, he didn't wake up just being able to do all these crazy, wacky expressions. You know, this is lots of dedication, several hours spent in the mirror just contorting his face in all these different weird positions. But yeah, so that's kind of like, you know, what we're kind of talking about, what makes him so appealing. You know, it's like, what's he going to do next? What kind of face, like, where's, you know, where's his eyebrows going to go now? You know, it's I wouldn't be surprised if like his upper lip touched his forehead or something, you know.
Yeah, it's, and you know, he holds a special place for people kind of in our age range's heart too, just because he kind of, his rise to power, his rise to fame was throughout the early to mid, or yeah, really the mid 90s,
yeah, mid to late 90s.
Yeah, exactly. And so we people kind of in our demographic are really attached to him because he was part of our not only our childhood, but even now, and he's still very much relevant now. I haven't seen the new Sonic movie yet, but he plays Dr. Robotnik, and apparently he's a blast. I haven't seen it yet, but I really, really want
to. That's what I've heard too.
But it's, so yeah, there's, you know, for, I don't know if we have a lot of, younger people listening to our podcast, younger than the super young people, but it's hard to go anywhere and not have some sort of emotional attachment to Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah. Do you remember the first Jim Carrey movie you saw?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I need to think on that for a little bit. What was yours?
I'm almost certain my earliest Jim Carrey memory is Ace Ventura. I'm almost certain on that. You know, I just remember that and watching that with my dad. Ace Ventura definitely is. And I remember my mom being like really annoyed because I think my dad would just watch it a lot. That in the Ace Ventura sequel, When Nature Calls, and I specifically remember me and my dad watching it in the part where he is like coming out of the fake rhino's butt, and my mom walks into the living room. She goes, "Ugh, I don't want to watch the Wild Man." That's what she referred to Jim Carrey as the Wild Man.
I didn't really have any sort of serious interaction with Ace Ventura. I probably saw commercials for it or whatever, but not until a little bit later. I think the first real, like, to be like, who is that, and someone say, oh, that's Jim Carrey, I think it was probably The Grinch, which was in 2000.
Yeah,
I think that was my first real sort of intimate connection with him, which was still, I mean, that was, you know, a solid 6 years after he came, you know, really kind of made himself known. But I did know The Mask. I was aware of The Mask. I think that was my first time that I, like, saw him, met him from afar. I didn't watch The Mask until I got a little bit older, but probably The Grinch was the first full movie that I saw with him in it.
Oh yeah, I remember my mom taking me to the theaters to go see that. And yeah, people listening, go check out our previous episode on How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey. Yes. That's in our backlog. Plug ourselves.
Good plug.
Last question it's going to get to before we officially start our rankings. Jim Carrey, he has some dramatic roles. Has there been a better comedian turned dramatic actor previously that you could think of? I mean, Adam Sandler comes to mind because apparently he was snubbed for Uncut Gems, and I think Adam Sandler could do a lot of roles. I have a very hot take about he should have been in Inglourious Basterds, not even as like a comedic relief, but I think he would have been awesome as the Jew Bear. That's a huge fight Kat and I get into all the time, but I honestly think I think Jim Carrey has been one of the best like turnarounds for that, and I think, honestly, Levi, you know, within the next 5-6 years, we're going to see him pump out a lot more great movies. I think he's going to have a quote unquote comeback within the next decade, I think.
Yeah, I think he's up there for sure. He's kind of living proof that you can be hilarious and also, you know, people can shed a tear in laughter and a tear of sadness when watching you. And he's kind of showed that kind of emotional flexibility. I think Adam Sandler is a good example. I know there are people that hate him as an actor and people that love him as an actor. I can see his, I don't mind him, honestly. I think he's pretty good, and I always thought he was one-dimensional, honestly, until I started seeing the commercials for Uncut Gems, and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy, he's pretty solid. I think the greatest person to ever prove that a comedy can go dramatic or go serious or whatever is Robin Williams. I think Robin Williams, in my opinion, is the greatest comedic actor of all time. I don't think he will ever be touched, in my lifetime at least. But I think, honestly, if anyone could get close, Jim Carrey definitely has. You could argue him as the greatest, or one of the greatest to ever.
He's definitely in the conversation.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think Robin Williams is borderline untouchable, but Jim Carrey definitely was one of those people that is so wild, wacky, and ridiculous, which is like Robin Williams was Mork. Jim Carrey was Ace Ventura, these kind of goofy, disconnected from the world kind of people a little bit. And then they go off and do something, you know, Robin Williams does Good Will Hunting and Jim Carrey does Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And you're like, right. Whoa, what is going on? So, right. Yeah, I think I would say that. Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest, but it would be. And if you said he was, I could see where you're coming from.
I have some points to add on to that, but I'm going to wait until we get to our rankings. So,
okay.
But all good stuff. So Levi and I, we're going to be ranking our top five, our own personal rankings of Jim Carrey movies. And like I said, these are our personal rankings. We're kind of grading them how we kind of see fits. You know, we might have different criteria, and these are our own rankings. I'm pretty sure y'all are 100%. Y'all are probably going to disagree with us, and that's fine. And if you want to let us know what you think your favorite is, you know, reach out to us on Twitter, email, Instagram, go down to the show notes. All of our links are there. But, so yeah, this is our own personal rankings. Let's kind of start off with some honorable mentions that didn't exactly crack the top five, but I kind of had some trouble with, you know, kicking these out of the top five.
Yeah.
One of them for me, and it came so close to it, but Bruce Almighty, I would probably have like number six.
You know what? Funny enough, Bruce Almighty was like my number 6 to 7 area. That's a really good movie. And good. I also, if you haven't seen Evan Almighty, that's also a very fun movie, but that stars Steve Carell instead of Jim Carrey. But yeah, Bruce Almighty, I think I'm going to put at number 7 on my honorable mention list behind.
It was close.
My number 6. My number 6 would be Liar Liar.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. Which that was really close. That is something that was almost in my top five. It definitely was contemplated. I think that in a lot of people's critical list, it is in his top five best roles. I think from just a purely cinematic acting kind of level, I think this probably is in his top five, just, you know, unbiasedly. But that one didn't quite make my top five cut.
One that I really just wanted to be my top five, to be ironic, but I just couldn't do it, was the number 23. Because this personal rankings, I mean, I know that movie's not great, and I think it's been a while since I've seen it, and from the last time I remember watching it, I remember thinking, there's a giant plot hole in this movie, and why didn't I cover that up? But I still like to revisit that movie like once every when it's an election year, I'll watch it. I don't know, like once every 4 years.
Sure. That was one I haven't gotten to watch yet, but I had a lot of articles that I read that were like, it's weird. It's just out
it's
there.
Weird, man. It's weird, but again, Jim Carrey, he gives, in my opinion, I feel like his performance was good in it. The story is wacky, but he does a good job. I was like, oh wow, he's crazy. I love it.
Yeah. I haven't seen 23, so I didn't get to put that in my list, but another honorable mention I had, which I think this is the not as good version of Liar Liar, which is Yes Man.
I had that as an honorable mention as well.
Yes Man, I thought was good. It's not everybody's, based on a lot of the lists I've seen, it's not everybody's favorite movie. Because it honestly, it is kind of a you know, Jim Carrey is still wonderful, but the story and the acting and the kind of everybody around him, it doesn't quite reach the emotional and the hilarity levels of Liar Liar. Still a good movie. You know, yeah, it's still fine, but it's not as good as Liar Liar. It's essentially the opposite. Instead of not being able to lie, he's not able to say no.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
And Yes Man was a huge case for, or a huge example for me of, oh, Jim Carrey's in it, gotta go see it. And I definitely went and saw this movie in theaters just because he was in it. I won't say I was disappointed, but I left going, okay, yeah, that was fine.
I also, full disclosure, I don't have any Ace Ventura movies in my top five just because I've seen part of the first Ace Ventura, but not all of it, and I haven't seen the second one. So I don't have the, it is not in my personal top five, but for any of our listeners who are like, Levi, why isn't Ace Ventura in your top five? It's because I don't have that kind of connection with it. So, but I recognize that especially the first one, a lot of people are like, that movie is amazing. It's one of his best. So I get it.
Interesting. All right. Well, were there any other honorable mentions you wanted to bring up before starting with number five?
I had two other ones that I put down, but they are two of his bigger ones, and I think they might be in your top five. And so I'm not gonna say them right now just because I don't want to take away from you talking about them. So, but I'll mention which ones if they're in your top five.
All right, that works. All right, so officially starting our top five ranking right now. Yes. So number five, Brucker's number five, and I'll just start because you gave me perfect segue, is Ace Ventura: Pet Detective from 1994.
There you go.
That is number five. I kind of struggled if I actually wanted this to be in my top five because I rewatched it last night and it wasn't as funny as I remembered it. It's still funny, but this movie hasn't aged well because, you know, there's a lot of like transphobia in this. I hope I used the right word in this. And it's kind of like, this 2020, that's okay. But there's other things in it that are still very funny that are just slapstick. And he has lots of funny bits in this, especially when he's, to prove that nobody would be able to hear this guy screaming in the apartment, he's screaming as he's opening and closing this glass door. I was really laughing a lot at that. And also Courtney Cox and Dan Marino are in it. I mean, it's going to crack my top five. So
yeah, right.
So it's number five on my list. Ace Ventura: Pet Detective. What about you, Levi?
Levi's number five. And this was, so I talk about how Liar Liar was my number six, and I felt like it should be in the top five, but I know for a fact it's not better than this one that is my number five. I had The Truman Show as my number five.
Whoa, I'm surprised.
Yeah. That it's so
I thought it would have been higher.
Yeah, so here, for the record, I think Truman Show is a top three Jim Carrey movie from an unbiased, just kind of cinematic level. Mm-hmm. The movie concept is amazing. Jim Carrey is amazing. His acting is really good. He's not, usually for Jim Carrey movies, you kind of have to be like the wackiest person in the room, and then you just kind of surround Jim Carrey with other people that kind of are normal and show how wacky he is. This is one of those moments where he still brings his Jim Carrey flair and silliness to it, but he still just plays like it's that dramatic role, and he does a really, really good job with it. All around, it is a great movie. If I was making a purely cinematic list, it would be a lot higher. But for me, it is my number five. And I really kind of bounced, my number four and my number five, I kind of bounced back and forth, but I ended up landing Truman Show at five.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's, I'm kind of surprised by that. Like I said, I thought that would have been maybe in your top two okay. I'm getting a different read for you right now. All right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's up there though. It's an amazing
movie. It is. It's great. My number four, is, and I might get some flack for having this movie in my top five, but it's my personal ranking. And this is one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies. Because for nostalgia, it's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's number four for me.
Why do you think you get flack for that?
I know a lot of people kind of think that this movie's trash, but I think it's great. Mm. I mean, it's something that kind of like played a factor into this besides my own personal business. Pretty much like I picked my personal favorite movies as right now. How can I rank these? Right. It's rewatchability. I watch it every year, maybe two or three times in December, you know, in preparations for Christmas, and I don't get tired of it. And also it's you can't replace Jim Carrey in this. I mean, you just can't. There's no
100%.
Yes, I think like Hugh Jackman maybe was supposed to be it or something. I might be wrong, but like I can't see another actor doing this. And that to me is like, all right, that solidifies in my top five, and it's better, and I like it more. I laugh way more at this than I do in Ace Ventura. It's number four.
I think that's a great reason to have it. Yeah, don't be ashamed of having the Grinch in that list. That's a good one. My number four, which I originally thought, just kind of without thinking about the rank, I thought it would be not in my top five, and then I sat with it and thought about all of it, and I said, no, this is in my top five. This is the one that I might get some flack for. My number four is Batman Forever, 1995.
I am shocked.
Now, and here's why. Okay, here's why. First of all, do I think it's a good movie? Sure. what makes this okay? What makes this so much fun is it's this is post Tim Burton. Tim Burton did two movies. Schumacher was jumped in for this one. You had Keaton doing the role of Batman for two movies in a row. You finally lose him. And we get
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, that's right. Val Kilmer, who I also think did a good job as Batman. I thought he was a fine Batman. He did okay. But what Jim Carrey did for the role of the Riddler, who, the Riddler being my favorite superhero villain of all time, so I was very excited he was in this movie. He added a level. It was very... He did something different from a super villain. It's not this normal, like, mob boss kind of crime lord thing that we usually get from, like, the Joker or from Penguin or whatever. It was this whimsical, goofy. It's not the best role of the Riddler by any means, but he kind of opened the door for future nuanced roles for superhero superhero movies. Like, Heath Ledger's Joker took this new twist of, like, not the cackly, giggly Joker, but the kind of... It's still insane, but a more methodical kind of random, chaotic, anarchy level of Joker. This was a different kind of supervillain. I know I'm harping on this a lot longer, but...
No, it's okay.
The Batman Forever is dark, it's gritty, it's weird. Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face is terrible, but Jim Carrey as the Riddler is unique, and so for that, it's my number four.
Interesting. I definitely had this movie towards the bottom of my list, just because... A couple years ago, Kat and I were going through and watching all the old school Batman movies for fun, and, you know, popped on Forever. You know, me going blind, didn't even know who was in this. And so the whole movie, it was me going, oh, that's Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, that's Jim Carrey. And so I was like, and I just couldn't get, just because I'm so used to the Nolanverse, I was like, this is so campy and wacky. But I had that a little bit lower, but cool, interesting. I'm learning a lot about you in this ranking, Levi.
I really think that if Christopher Nolan didn't do just such a unbelievable, phenomenal job with the new Batman trilogy, I think we would remember Batman Forever as a better movie than it is remembered for. But Christopher Nolan just took superheroes to another level and changed superheroes forever.
Yeah, everybody wants to see it grounded in realism.
That's right.
For my number three, I chose... Okay, this was tough because my top three was hard. So, number three, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind from 2004.
Oh, okay. That's my number three.
This movie was just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. It was a really good dramatic role for him. And there was a lot of... It felt like a prototype Inception almost. As I was watching it, I watched this recently, and I was like, I almost felt like that they depicted dreams better in this than they did in Inception, but that's a whole nother podcast. And Jim Carrey, he did a really good job. It's a good movie. And I have some hot takes about this though. I just have this ranked above How the Grinch Stole Christmas just because it's a better overall movie. However, I feel like Jim Carrey's role in this irreplaceable as his role as the Grinch. Like, I felt like you could get
sure.
a handful of other actors to do his role in this in Eternal Sunshine, and it would still be a good movie. But I still have it up because it's a better overall movie. That's just my personal where my personal rankings came in, and that's yeah. that's kind of like the difference to like what you were saying earlier about Robin Williams. Like Robin Williams's performance in Good Will Hunting cannot be replaced. I cannot substitute another actor in there. And like in something like this, you could probably substitute a couple other actors in there, and you get just as good, if not better, performance. So.
Sure.
That's where I'm kind of going on different tangent. That's just separation of comedic actors turn dramatic actors. But anyways,
yeah.
Have This as number three. Still really good, a lot of fun. And it's a movie I'm going to be like rewatching for a while. What about you?
Yeah. I just a comment on this, your Spotless Mind thing with Jim Carrey being replaceable. I would agree. I think the level that he brought to it is the fact that he was him doing this in 2004, I believe mm-hmm. is what it was, after having all of these giggly, laughy, fanatic, jumping around, I'm always so giddy and happy kind of roles, made right. you kind of feel that level of sadness for the character knowing that it's Jim Carrey. So I think that there's a level of uniqueness, like you said, that he brought to the role, but I agree that that role could have probably been played by somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was also a year after doing Bruce Almighty.
Right.
So... the year before Bruce Almighty, he did The Majestic, which I think is maybe more dramatic. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen all Jim Carrey movies, but, as probably one of his first, if not his first dramatic role, it was really good.
Yeah. That's a good one. That was your number three. My number three, this one's unique. I bet this isn't even on some of y'all's radar. My number three is the 2008 film Horton Hears a Who.
Really?
Yes. Have you seen this movie, Broker?
I have not.
This movie is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. It is Jim Carrey as Horton and Steve Carell as the mayor of Whoville. It is an animated movie, so I understand if some of you guys haven't seen it. I'm a fan of animated films, and Jim Carrey in animation is kind of... It's different because he's someone who... thrives so much from his facial expressions, for his body comedy, for his ability to kind of twist and contort into all of these goofy characters. And so on paper, it almost feels like this is stacked against him to play someone who's animated, but he does such a good job. The story is compelling. It's kind of hard. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, there have been more bad Dr. Seuss adaptations than there have been good Dr. Seuss mm-hmm. adaptations, animated or not. But this is one of the few really, really good ones. And I think that the casting for it all is really, really good. The story is really sweet. Yeah, so Horton Hears a Who, I knew it was going to be in my top five, but I couldn't. Yeah, number three is as high as I could give it. Number three.
Yeah, that, I find that interesting that you picked a movie, kind of like what you're saying, where you don't... We talk about the appeal of him is the man's made of rubber, and
right.
he can contort his face, and but you picked a movie where right. it's his voice, and it's so high. Interesting.
Yep. Go see it if you haven't seen it. Trust me, it's a blast.
All right. So my top two Jim Carrey movies, personal. It's very hard. I'm having a really hard time with this, Levi. Right now, I'm still kind of on the fence. It's really like 1A, 1B.
Right, but, right. I'm 100% agree with you on this one. It was very difficult to go back and forth, but I'm pretty comfortable where I am at my number one and two.
Okay, so for number two, Liar Liar. I have this really high.
Wow.
And honestly, like I said, it's like 1A, 1B. I think that this is his best comedy. I really think so. I rewatched it recently, and it holds up. There aren't too many mm-hmm. big problems. Oh, I guess there are some, but not like anything ginormous by problems with this like there are in Ace Ventura. Mm-hmm. And it's like the perfect amount of wackiness from Jim Carrey in this. It really, because, he's a lawyer and a lot of the movie takes place in a courthouse. And so it's just very funny just seeing him be so like, wacky and all over the place, and he's very sarcastic and it just throughout this whole movie. And also, I felt like this was him trying to push the envelope that he can be a dramatic actor a little bit, because he really shows how much he wants to be a good dad. He's trying to convey to Max that he loves him and everything, and he just keeps failing and failing and failing and failing in that fatherly role. But there's still some like really good one-liners in this movie, and that's what I love about it. It's not just like the wacky like him beating himself up, which is one of my favorite scenes from that movie. He has some really good zingers in this, like when Jerry, the new stepdad or whatever, like, hey, you doing, slugger? And he, like, kind of, like, gives Max, their kid, like, a little, like, nudge on the shoulder. He goes, see that? He struck the child. And, like, I just, it sends me cracking up every time, and I know it's coming. And it's a good movie. So I think that's his best comedy. I go back and forth. Is it his best movie? But so I have it number two. So
I think healthily I would agree with you. I think it's a top three Jim, it's one of the top three of all time, along with two others that will obviously I'll touch on that here in a second. My number two, again, this is very difficult. My number two is the 2004 film Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I think this movie is his, I think this is, from just a critical standpoint, I think this is probably his best movie. Which is funny because it kind of goes away from his bread and butter of being a goofy, like, twisty, whatever. Same thing as Horton Hears a Who. You kind of lose that thing that you're like, oh, it's Jim Carrey. He's insane. he does an incredible job making that emotional connection. Again, you know, regardless if someone else could play this role, he does an amazing job. The story is good. Like, this movie as a whole is just a good movie, and he plays the same thing as with Truman Show. He is someone who isn't the center of attention, but he plays a really, really great role to fit into the puzzle piece that is that movie. And so I would think that in some order, I think it goes Eternal Sunshine, then Truman Show, then Liar Liar as the top three films that he's ever been in, not necessarily his role per se, but I think those are his top three. But for my personal list, Eternal Sunshine is number two. And it is my, that was my version of whenever you were talking about the Batman Forever being like, oh my gosh, this person's in it. Oh my gosh, this person's in it. That was mine for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I was like, oh, Jimmy, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Kate Winslet. Oh my gosh, is that Elijah Wood? Oh my gosh, it's Mark Ruffalo. Oh my gosh, it's David Cross. Is that Kristen Dunst? Like, it's, it's just kind of, it's just another star and another star and another star. But yeah, I think
that movie needs to get more attention, because I feel like people don't talk about it as much as it deserves. At least I haven't been exposed to it as much as
I agree. I only watched it recently and I was very impressed by it. So yeah, Eternal Sunshine is my number two. Brooker, what is your number one?
All right, number one. I just want to clarify real quick that the reason why I had Liar Liar ahead of Eternal is just because Jim Carrey's a comedian, and I felt like, you know, you got to put his best comedy up there in the top two at least. So
sure.
All right, so for number one, and I, like I said, I'm still going back and forth, but number one, I have The Truman Show as number one. It's really good. It's a good mixture of like comedy, dark comedy, and some drama. It's very rewatchable to me.
Yes,
I think it's an easy rewatch, and it's also not very long. It's, it actually goes by very quick. I was kind of surprised on the rewatch for this how quickly it went by, because, you know, when we get to the point where, or the climax where he's missing and everybody's looking for him, I was like, wait, there's gotta be more, right? No, no. But it's very good, and we really see just, it's so subtle, and just the little things he does that I feel like are kind of irreplaceable. Like, while you could probably have another actor come in and give a fine performance and it would still be a good movie, there's so many subtle, nuanced things that Jim Carrey did that made Truman Burbank his Truman Burbank. Like, you know, the whole, he wakes up in the morning, goes down, or, you know, he walks out the door in the morning, says hi to his neighbor. He does that whole, like, lean back thing, and is that he does that Jim Carrey big ass smile, you know, if I don't see you today, you know, good afternoon, good night, and good evening. And I did that wrong again, but
good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
I'm, yeah, my brain's weird, but it's just so good. And also we get like this very subtle thing in the middle where he starts to like kind of catch on to things, and he's like talking to his wife, and she's like, she gives that Coco ad, he's like, who are you talking to? And he gives such a good line delivery. Like, I don't understand what the hell is going on. And it's such like a jump mid-sentence of like, oh, this movie's tone just changed mid-sentence. And he like holds her at knife point kind of. And it's just like, whoa. Like, you know, as I believe it. Like, I'm following this guy down insanity like with him. Like, it was so good. And it's so rewatchable. And it's, in my opinion, Jim Carrey's best movie.
I think that that is a fine reason to put that as the best movie. It was a very, very, very good film. I'm surprised that my two honorable mentions that I thought were going to be in your list were not in your list, and there's a lot of people's favorites. I've only seen pieces of Dumb and Dumber. I haven't actually seen it all the way through, but actually that's a lie. I have seen it all the way through. It was just a long time ago. But Dumb and Dumber is a lot of people's favorites. I had that on an honorable mention, and The Mask, just because that was kind of his quintessential role. My number one is The Grinch.
Really?
Yes, sir. I'm telling you, The Grinch is my quintessential Jim Carrey movie. It is pure Jim Carrey in his just, like, it's a unique role, and so he's not being, like, happy goofy, but it's the smile, the running around, the jumping, the crazy, the quick one-liners, the comments out the side of his mouth. You say you watch it every Christmas. It's the same thing for me. This movie holds a very, very special place in my heart. I understand how it is not somebody's favorite Jim Carrey movie. I don't understand why this movie doesn't get more praise. I thought that this was so unique and so fun. When you talk about Dr. Seuss movies, like I said, that are good, I think it is The Grinch, Horton Hears a Who, and the other two animated Grinch movies. I believe those are the only really, like, purely, like, what I would say is a certified fresh movies. Like, The Lorax was, and the Cat in the Hat, or Lorax is fine, but it's not amazing. The two Cat in the Hat movies with, not two, there's only one. One Cat in the Hat movie with, what's his name? With Mike Myers is not good. Just and yeah. Like the different old animated ones and blah, 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 blah. But the Grinch is just so good. And it's like Nacho Libre and the Grinch that I get most of my funny quotable moments. Like it's just such a quotable movie. It cracks me up and it is so funny and the message is sweet and it is true to the source material. And I know, you know, we talked about, you know, we're not going to do The Grinch again because we already did it. But The Grinch, we talked about how much Jim Carrey just hated being in that movie. But I'm so thankful he stuck it out because it was so good. So, yeah, The Grinch will forever be my number one favorite Jim Carrey movie.
I'm kind of like, I'm laughing that you had it as number one, because when you first told me, hey, let's do the Jim Carrey ranking, the first thing that came to mind was, am I going to have The Grinch as number one?
Yeah.
And then as I did my homework, I went over his filmography. He's like, oh, yeah, he has all these other
movies.
He's
got
a lot of
good ones. Yeah.
Obviously,
if I was doing purely like cinematic, The Grinch is not going to be on that. Probably not even on the top five.
Yeah, this is our own personal bias.
This is personal bias. I think The Grinch is his best.
Right. Just to compare to what, because I was curious as to like what other rankings have.
Don't say it. Can I guess? I'm going to see if I can guess the top five. This is from what source material you're using?
IMDb's top Jim Carrey movies.
Okay. I'm going to guess Eternal Spotlight is number one. Number two, I'm going to say Truman. Number three, Liar Liar. Number four, I'm going to say number five. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm sure they love The Mask. I'm going to say number four is The Mask, and number five is Dumb and Dumber.
So for... you are so wrong, Levi.
Oh, really?
According to IMDb, Jim Carrey's number one movie is Dumb and Dumber.
What?
Followed by The Truman Show.
Okay.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And the number 23, Good Gravy.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
does... Here, I want to quickly see if Rotten Tomatoes has a ranking.
Here, yeah. Let's see. I think they do.
Okay. So, according to Rotten Tomatoes, his top five movies are The Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Peggy Sue Got Married, Liar Liar, and Horton Hears a Who.
Oh,
so there's
yeah.
better overlap with Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb's.
Horton Hears a Who. Good for you, buddy.
And just because I was curious, his highest grossing movie, do you want to take a guess what his highest grossing movie is?
Highest grossing movie is... You know what? I'm going to guess Batman Forever.
Ooh, it's in his top three. I'm sorry, it's in his top four. But his highest grossing movie is Bruce Almighty at $484 million.
Oh, that makes sense.
Shortly followed by The Mask at 351, How the Grinch Stole Christmas at 345, Batman Forever at 336, and number five is A Christmas Carol at $325 million.
Christmas Carol, good gracious. I know that had back and forth reviews too. People had opinions on that one.
So our next two episodes are going to be our top Jim Carrey movies. And just to refresh everyone, my ranking 5-1 was Ace Ventura number 5, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Eternal Sunshine, The Spotless Mind, Liar Liar, and The Truman Show. And my episode is going to be The Truman Show.
And my ranking was number 5, Truman Show, 4, Batman Forever, 3, Horton Hears a Who, 2, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and number 1 was The Grinch. So we are going to do from my list, my runner-up, since we already analyzed The Grinch, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Two really good episodes. Super really good looking forward episodes. To this.
Oh my goodness. I can't wait. Oh, this is so good.
I can't wait. So thanks everyone for listening to our not so mini-sode. if you like this and you liked our rankings, let us know what your top 5 Jim Carrey movies are at Film on the Rocks on Twitter. And we are sort of going to be the next episode of Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, anywhere else you listen to
all of them.
Podcasts. All right. It's been a lot of fun, and hope you guys like the mini-sode. Let us know if you want more.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then.
That's the best I got. All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.